We're going on with our study of trying to find out what is God teaching. Why did God do what he did at the beginning? For example, we go into the Bible and we find that God is God. He is from everlasting past. We have learned that enormous piece of information that before he ever created planet Earth or created anybody on it, he already made provision for all the sin that would come into the world. He made provision to be the Savior. He actually was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we learn that that is why he can be called the Son of God, why he is introduced to us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's because he had risen from the dead. Imagine, before he had ever created the world, he had risen from the dead. Otherwise, he could not be called the Son of God. Let me just remind us of that. When we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and there God lays down the principle. He says, and declared, starting with verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know, when we read in the Bible, in Psalm 16 or elsewhere, where Christ said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, we are learning that hell is death. Hell is death. Thou wilt not leave my soul dead. In other words, Christ died. We don't understand how God could die, but he died. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Remember, the Bible teaches in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Die. And so that comes through very prominently. Now the fact is that Christ, therefore, laden with our sins, God, who is God, he knows the end from the beginning, before he ever created anything at all, took every one of the dirty, rotten sins of every human that he had put into the Lamb's Book of Life at that time. He already laid it all out in perfection and put those sins on Jesus, not on Jesus as the Son of God. No, he was not the Son of God. He is God himself. He is the Christ. The Son. He is God himself back there in the foundations of the earth. He is not the Son of God. He hadn't risen from the dead yet. Until he rose from the grave, he could not be called the Son of God. That's why he is spoken of in the Bible as my only begotten Son, because he rose from the grave. He actually died. Now, that's a mystery beyond measure, how this could all have been. But that is exactly what we learn from the Bible, that Christ died before he ever created anything called planet Earth. We're learning in the Bible that God is God. And of course, he's from everlasting past. And we find that he's created other principalities and powers. We've looked at a number of times Ephesians 3:10, that to the intent that the principalities and powers can see what is going on in this earth. And we read in Ephesians, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1:21, where we read about Christ, which he, beginning in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his. You notice that? When he raised him from the dead. Now he's not talking about the cross. No, that's not when his soul was in hell. His soul was in hell when Christ was in the tomb in AD 33. Was his soul in hell? Was his soul dead? The answer is no, he was in heaven. It was his body, and it didn't even see corruption. This was just a tableau that God is giving us, and that's another subject to show us that he had risen, but he actually had risen originally before the foundation of the earth, before he had created anything. But notice, we read in verse 20 and 21, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that in the world to come, indicating that God has still plans to create other principalities and powers. And he's been creating. God is God. He's from in eternity past. And we can't put any limitations on God as to how great he is. But certainly, he has been creating other principalities and powers in eternity past. Now, the curious thing is, when we begin to look at these other, at the language of the Bible about what God rules over, we find that he rules over perfection. When we go to the new heaven and the new earth, whatever that is, and God does not define it beyond that, new heaven and new earth. But again, we will be with him forevermore, and there's no sin there. There is no possibility of sin. It is a perfect place because God is perfect and he is the supreme ruler. We find that in the when we go to be with him, whatever that is going to be, and it's a big mystery as to what God is going to do with those he has planned to save. But whatever he does, it's going to be marvelous beyond measure, but it will be sinless. There will be no sin. There will be no taint of sin because God is ruled over completely by God. And whenever we read about God ruling, we know there is perfection. But then we begin to get curious. We begin to ask some questions. And we have to ask these questions very humbly, believe you me, because we're talking about what God has created. But here he, in his plan, we're taking the big perspective. We're standing outside and looking at God throughout eternity and see him busy. And he's creating over here a world of some kind of principality and power. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is, but we know it's ruled over by God and it's perfect. Over here's another one. Over here's another one. Over here's another. You know, it's kind of amusing. These scientists are all listening. Is there life out there? Is there life out there? They've spent billions of dollars trying to prove there is life out there. They're right. We've never thought of it that way, but they are absolutely right. There's all kinds of life out there that we don't know about. But that's in an entirely different dimension, entirely different aspect of our ability to think. But God is God. He hasn't been sitting on his hands throughout eternity past. And if he created planet Earth, why couldn't he create and this whole world that this is? Why couldn't he have been creating a lot of other things? And the language of the Bible tells us for sure that this is the case, that he has been creating other things. Like when we read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There's no way to get around it, that there is other creations that God has been busy with. But then we look at planet Earth, and we have to ask a lot of questions. Yes, we know that God created, we're talking now about the principality and power called planet Earth, or our world, or the place in which we live. This is what we're thinking about now. Was it created perfect? The answer is absolutely yes. God explains how he created it, and he said everything was very good. Very good. Was there any sin of any kind? No. And who ruled over it? God was the ruler, and he appointed someone he created in his own image and likeness, so that the individual had all the attributes of God himself, except that he was created and was not from eternity past. He was not infinite in his attributes as God is, but nevertheless, he was just like God, and that was our first parent, Adam. Everything was perfect. Well, then we say, well, why didn't the world continue perfectly? Or we can ask the question, now why did God take this perfect earth? And if it's perfect, it couldn't be any more beautiful than beautiful. And why did God in this planet earth plant a garden called the Garden of Eden? As if that was separated from the rest of the earth. Why did he do that? That's strange. That doesn't, if it's one harmonious, perfect earth, why would he create that garden? And then we can ask some more questions. You know, there were the angels that were created. We don't know a whole lot about the angels, but we know that they were created perfect also. And yet, there were some of the angels that may not have realized it yet. You know, when you read Hebrews chapter 4, you find there that, and this is always a surprising statement to me, but it's so real, that God not only knows what we're thinking about, but he knows the intents. He is a discerner of, I'm reading the last part of verse 12 of Hebrews 12. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, he knows what we are going to think about before we think about it. We know from past history, as the Bible records for us, that there were a number of angels, they were all created perfect, but there were a number of angels that, unbeknownst to themselves possibly, had an intent. What intent? Go back to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. And we find here, it's talking about Lucifer, and it's describing what the intent of his heart was. He may not have known it at all, that this was laid deep within his heart, but it was. Because he says his intent was, in verse 13, I will ascend into heaven and exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, hear God, and we don't understand how God created perfect angels, and yes, among them, there were those that had this kind of intent within their heart without recognizing it at all. That's a mystery. That's a mystery. They had not sinned, however. The intent is still not the sin. The sin comes when the intent is developed into sin. And so here he at least created a number of the angels so that they had the possibility of sinning, even though they were created perfectly. Now, we can't define these terms any tighter than that. That's all we can say, because that's what the way it happened. That's exactly the way it happened. And it was only a certain number of angels. We never read again, once Lucifer fell and the angels with him, there was ever a fall, another fall of angels. It never happened again. It just happened that one time. But why is it that here God has created this beautiful earth, this beautiful kingdom? He's put his son of his Adam to rule there. And of all the angels, most of them will never fall. We never read again of the fall of an angel. Why does he guide the angels in such a way that these, headed up by Lucifer, who have an intent of some kind deep in their heart to someday want to be like God, and place them on this earth and allow them into access into the Garden of Eden? It's contrived. God has set this up for some reason. Why did he do it?